Let's read from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 15, description of the kingdom of God. Yes, this is the story of the four Kumars. Yes, Ivan Kur. Hare Krishna. Chapter 15, the description of the kingdom of God. It's the story of the four Kumars trying to enter Vaikuntha, but being stopped by Jai and Vijay, the doorkeepers, and the four Kumars curse Jai and Vijay, who become Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So let's just read a little bit about that part of the story. So we'll begin then. We'll begin, I think, with text 31. We're sort of in the story already. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yes, so Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text 31. Tabyam mishats vani misheshu nishidyamana swarhattama kyapihare patihara pabyam uchu suvittama didrikshita banga ishat kamanujena sahasa ta upaplu taksha. Translation. When the Kumars, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger, due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to the Vedic system, a sannyasi, a person in the renounced order of life, is dressed in saffron-colored garments. This saffron dress is practically a passport for the mendicant and sannyasi to go anywhere. The sannyasi's duty is to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. Those in the renounced order of life have no other business but preaching the glories and supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic sociological conception is that a sannyasi should not be restricted. He is allowed to go anywhere and everywhere he wants, and he is not refused any gift he might demand from a householder. The four Kumars came to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. The word Suritama, best of all friends, is important. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, He is the best friend of all living entities. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. No one can be a greater well-wishing friend to any living entity than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so kindly disposed towards everyone that in spite of our completely forgetting our relationship with the Supreme Lord, he comes himself, sometimes personally, as Lord Krishna appeared on this earth, and sometimes as his devotee, as did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes he sends his bona fide devotees to reclaim all the fallen souls. Therefore, he is the greatest well-wishing friend of everyone, and the Kumars wanted to see him. The doorkeepers should have known that the four sages had no other business, and therefore to restrict them from entering the palace was not apt. In this verse, it is figuratively stated that the younger brother of Desire suddenly appeared in person when the sages were forbidden to see their most beloved personality of Godhead. In this verse. The younger brother of Desire is anger. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. The younger brother of Desire is anger. When Prabhupada's using the word desire, he means in the sense of lust, personal desire to just enjoy something material for oneself. Yeah. If one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother, anger, follows. Here we can mark that even great saintly persons like the Kumars were also angry, but they were not angry for their personal interests. They were angry because they were forbidden to enter the palace to see the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the theory that in the perfectional stage one should not have anger is not supported in this verse. Anger will continue even in the liberated stage. These four mendicant brothers, the Kumars, were considered liberated persons, but still they were angry because they were restricted in their service to the Lord. The difference between the anger of an ordinary person and that of a liberated person is that an ordinary person becomes angry because his sense desires are not being fulfilled. Whereas a liberated person like the Kumars becomes angry when restricted in the discharge of duties for serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous verse, it has been clearly mentioned that the Kumars were liberated persons. Viditatmatattva means one who understands the truth of self-realization. One who does not understand the truth of self-realization is called ignorant. But one who understands the self, the super-self, their interrelation and activities in self-realization is called viditatma tattva. Although the Kumars were already liberated persons, they nevertheless became angry. This point is very important. Becoming liberated does not necessitate losing one's sensual activities. Sense activities continue even in the liberated stage. The difference is, however, that sense activities in liberation are accepted only in connection with Krishna consciousness, whereas sense activities in the conditioned stage are enacted for personal sense gratification. So, tout le monde comprend. Everyone understands. Or was I reading too quickly? It's okay? All right. Let's read the verse again. Tabyam mishat svanimisheshu nishidyamana svarhattama hyapihare pratihara papyam uchu suritama didrikshata banga ishat kamanujena sahasa taupaplu takansha. When the Kumars, although by far the fittest persons, were thus forbidden entrance by the two chief doorkeepers of Sri Hari, while other divinities looked on, their eyes suddenly turned red because of anger, due to their great eagerness to see their most beloved master, Sri Hari, the personality of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalaya Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Niravishesha Shunyavani Pasti Charya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapita Rubhya Stagripa Sindhu Vyavacha Padidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So there's a number of important points here in the verse and purport. In the purport, first of all, Srila Prabhupada talks about sannyasis, mendicants, traveling mendicants, traveling preachers. And the important point is, Prabhupada says, those in the renounced order of life have no other business but preaching the glories and supremacies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have no other business at all. And one important there are a number of reasons for that. There's a number of reasons. For example, a sannyasi generally is an older person. And Srila Prabhupada said, actually we were talking about this a little bit in Phoenix, I think. Yes, we were, that's right. You know, in Phoenix we have an official ISKCON old age society. Did you know that? Senior citizens. Yeah. And I am of the age of a senior citizen too. But anyway, they came. There's about 25 or 30 of them. All devotees, all chanting, japa, mainly chanting 16 rounds. They were really nice. And we make the point to them, which Srila Prabhupada made, that in a certain sense, old age is an asset. Even Prabhupada said it is like an opulence. You know, oftentimes people think that old age is a... you know, something quite negative, because death cannot be that far away. And just in general, as the body ages, then one becomes less able to function. Like I used to dance in kirtan, believe it or not. You might not believe it, but actually it's true. Every time I would dance in the kirtan. Now, on one hand, because the body is just sort of a bit ancient, and on the other hand, because I have a herniated disc, L5-S7, in my spine, I only dance if it's something really sort of unusual, special. Otherwise, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous to put pressure, you know, particularly sort of sudden pressure on the spine. Welcome to old age. I remember actually several years ago, I went in a place in South Africa to have an x-ray done. And it wasn't like one of our friendly devotee or Hindu doctors who would just do it free. I had to pay. So I came out to pay, and they looked at my identity document and my age, and they said, oh, you get 25% discount as a senior citizen. Haribo. But anyway, Prabhupada said that old age is an opulence, in the sense that by the time the body becomes old, you've had a lot of experience. And I tell you, it makes such a difference in terms of knowing how people think and work and what's going on inside people. It's so much easier to understand because you've been through so much and you've seen so much. And of course also, at least if you use the time as a devotee properly, you will have read so much and heard so much about Krishna and the process of Krishna consciousness, and therefore you'll have a lot more knowledge than a younger devotee, and what to speak of materialistic people. So like that, sannyasis are usually older. It's quite unusual that young people are allowed to take sannyas. We used to, Prabhupada in the beginning of the movement, gave sannyas to some number of people, I'm not sure how many, but you know, some 20, more than 20, like 30, 40, something like that. Young men who are in their 20s. One of them I know was 21. 21 when he took sannyas. And, you know, now at the age of 67, I can tell you, because I was 21 once. When you're 21, you are still, you know, kind of a child. Yeah. You know, you're in a transitional stage, of course. But you're nowhere near being like a real adult. According to Vedic culture, Prabhupada said, a male is considered a boy and a female is considered a girl and referred to as such until they are 40. Only at the age of 40 is someone considered an adult, according to Vedic culture. And Prabhupada applied that. You probably, if you've listened to Prabhupada's lectures or read enough, you would have heard Prabhupada talking about the boys and girls, the American and European boys and girls. And when I first heard that, at the ripe old age of 21, I thought, what is this, boys and girls? I'm not a boy. Okay, anyway. So, at least according to the Vedic system, as Prabhupada explains here, a sannyasi, who is generally an older person, like in ISKCON, we do not allow anyone to take, to even like be put on the waiting list for taking sannyas, generally unless they're 40. Some if they're between 35 and 40 sometimes, but not often. And generally 40, even 50 is better. Yes, yeah, so according to the Vedic system, sannyasis, they can go anywhere, ask anyone for anything, and they'll be facilitated. And even to this day, to some degree, in India, it still happens to some degree. Note that. It's not like it was in the sort of good old Vedic days, but still to some degree. Yes. So, because it's understood, or at least it's accepted, and it should be, that sannyasis are completely dedicated to the service of the Lord, and particularly to preaching the glories of the Lord, which is the most important type of service, because if we are not preached to, if we do not hear preaching, and even on a personal level, if no one actually preaches to us as individuals about what is our life and what are we doing and what are we not doing, etc., how are we going to progress? How are we going to progress? Of course, Krishna's within the heart, and he gives instruction, but the mind is also sort of in the heart. It's definitely in the head, the mind. And if we are simply depending on the sort of, sometimes they call it the inner voice, which comes up with different ideas and inspirations from time to time. Sometimes it's the Lord, actually. But sometimes it's the mind. Sometimes it's the mind, because we're very conditioned. So conditioned. And as we said last night, old habits die hard. And old attractions die hard. Old attitudes die hard. All these things. So, therefore in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, in the earlier stages of his instructions to Arjuna, tells him, beware of the mind. Beware of the mind. Don't trust the mind. I was just reading a little while ago, Srila Prabhupada was saying, the mind can be like a wild animal. A wild animal. If you don't keep it tied up and under control, as soon as it gets released, it's gone. It's away. A wild animal. And the mind tends, perhaps not always, but it definitely tends to be like that. Therefore, we need to be preached to. Every single one of us needs at least one person who has enough interest in us to sit us down sometimes and say, look, now, what are you doing? And let's have a look at what you're doing and let's see. And you know, to make some corrections too. That's why in ISKCON, it's becoming more, you know, it's not just the spiritual master, although that's there with the spiritual master to some degree, but because the spiritual master is usually, nowadays, following in Prabhupada's footsteps, is usually a kind of international person who's not really personally around, certainly not all of the time. So this is why in ISKCON now, and over the last maybe 10 years or something, and it's increasingly so, that we have the system of counselors, mentors, people who are local, and means someone who actually knows who you are, and what sort of person you are, what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and who understands Krishna consciousness enough to be able to give you good personal guidance. More and more around the world, this is there. And the results of it are generally very good. All right, anyway. The sannyasis. The Kumars were sort of sannyasis. Actually, they're 5-year-old children, or even 4-year-old, something like that. Because of their mystical powers, they stopped their bodies aging. Yes. I wish I had done that, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago or something. Anyway, so much for that. But they did it. They did it. So actually, they were not little children. And their thinking processes were not the thinking processes of little children at all. Like Prahlad Maharaj. Not because he stopped his body aging, but because of his very elevated consciousness. He was not thinking like a child. He was never thinking, oh, let's play games, and if things don't go my way, I'll cry, and all this sort of childish behavior. He was thinking like an adult. And, you know, like a very literate, very knowledgeable adult. So when you read the verses spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, you know, first of all, they're in first class Sanskrit, and even somewhat complex Sanskrit. We, you know, here on Maurice, we may speak at best some Mauritian version of Bhojpuri. But I asked one real sort of like Pakka Hindi speaker who was here once and who was very conscious of his Pakka Hindi speaking. I asked him, what do you think of the way they speak Hindi here? And he said, no one speaks Hindi here. That's what he said. No one speaks it. Say lovely. So the Kumars, yeah, actually they were fit, as the verse says, although by far the fittest persons. They had the right, according to terms of qualification, to enter the spiritual world. But unfortunately, Jai and Vijay took them to be, you know, as they appeared to be on the bodily level, little boys, little children, yeah. And so they refused them entrance. Let's see here. So, yeah, so sannyasis are allowed to move freely. No visas required. They can just walk into someone's house, pick something up and walk out. And in many cases, the people, not only will they allow it and not become disturbed, but they'll become happy. They'll become very happy. It's a blessing. It's a blessing that the sannyasi came and utilized something from my household paraphernalia in the service of the Lord. Yeah, then Prabhupada goes on to refer to the word, it's in the third line of the Sanskrit, suritama, suritama, surit. Surit means friend. There are different words that mean friend. Sakha, saki is a female friend. Sakha, the cowherd boys are generally understood or referred to as Sakha. Yeah, friends, male friends. Mitra. Mitra is also another term for friend. But Surit, Surit means a good friend, like on the level of the heart, close friend, who you can sort of open your heart to and take some guidance from, and you'll know that what you say is in confidence. You know, there's nothing worse, sometimes at least, there's nothing worse than telling someone some personal matter of your heart, some sort of confidential, very personal thing to someone, and then a little later, another person or some other people come up and say, "Oh, I didn't know you had that problem. Really?" So, this not being able to respect confidence. Ooh, that is such a no-no. But Surit means a friend that you can do that with. Mitra is also friend, but not as close. So, and now the Lord is referred to as Surittama. Surit, the Sanskrit grammar is Surit Uttama. Surit Uttama. Uttama meaning the best, on just the highest level. So just it's being used to refer to the Lord. He is the best friend of all living entities. He's so kind. And he's so kind that even though we have left him behind a long time ago and drifted off into the material world, and now we are in, of all places, flak. But he has followed us. He has followed us. You know, I use Facebook. I use Facebook, I admit it. I try to use it for Krishna conscious purposes. I think I do. But I have many friends. In fact, you know, I was just accepting everybody who wanted to be my friend. Until I reached about 4,000 something. 4,003 or 400. And then I found out you're only allowed to have 5,000 friends. And then they cut you off. And you can't accept any more, even if some, you know, really suitable person is there. So then I stopped accepting friends unless I know them. Yeah. Every day, you know, like yesterday, I forget how many I got. I got, like, I don't know, 10 requests. Some days it's 20 to become my friend. But yesterday, I think I accepted 2 people I know from places I go to, friends. And I know, now I'm up to 4,600 and something. I know I cannot be, in a very personal sense, I cannot be a friend to so many people. I mean, in a sort of very broad sense, I can put nice things on Facebook, nice photos, and maybe say a few nice words sometimes. That's friendly. But not in this sense of Surittama. It means intimate, confidential friend who cares and who is able to express that care in all ways, never limited or restricted by anything in how much he or she can manifest their caring attitude. But Krishna's like that. Krishna can and Krishna does. And therefore, even though we've been in this material world, you know, let's say Mataji here. What's your name again? I forgot.
Hari Nishtha.
Huh?
Hari Nishtha.
What a nice name. Hari Nishtha. Devi Dasi. Even though you've been in this world, Hari Nishtha, Devi Dasi. You know, of course, I don't know. But let's say at least 10 million 853,971 births. And it could be more. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be less. And all the time, forgive me for saying it, at least some of the time, you were not the surit of Krishna. You were either a little on the negative side or just unaware. Don't mind me singling you out. Just trying to keep you awake, actually. But that's the same with all of us and me. It's exactly the same. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, quite negative attitudes. Not just don't care or not aware, but sometimes actual, like, specifically negative attitudes. We don't want Krishna. And even now we're practicing Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Krishna Kripa, Kimanya? Okay, Mahusi. Yeah, even now we're practicing Krishna consciousness. Sometimes the mind manifests some other idea. Let's be real about life. But still, Krishna has stuck with us, as they say, through thick and thin. And there's been a lot, you know, ups and downs, too much. So that Krishna is so much a kind friend. You know, we should try and meditate on this. And not just meditate on it, but we should, I recommend, and frankly I have done, research, trying to understand more clearly and trying to find more examples of how Krishna is actually friendly, and not just friendly, but kind and caring and taking trouble with us. And, you know, there's, if one researches, one finds many examples of Krishna being very, very kind. Hare Krishna. Well-wishing friend. Greatest well-wishing friend of everyone. So, yeah, that's something you can take away from this class today. Do a little research, particularly if you have Prabhupada's books on computer. It's extremely valuable. You can easily research just by putting words in and doing searches. It's child's play. And you'll find many examples. So many examples. One very interesting experience I had, it was actually back in 1991, I think, quite some years ago. Somehow, well, this devotee, I mentioned him last night, did I? Kushakrata? Mm-hmm. I mentioned him last night, okay. Yeah, he became... He was like a drugged out hippie, like a classic on the street. And he was not doing well at all psychologically. But he became a great Sanskrit scholar. And he started translating many books of the previous acharyas. They're still available. And I was getting them. And I came across one. It's a book by Srila Jiva Goswami. It's called Sankalpa Kalpadruma. There's a book with the same title by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's not that one. It's the one by Srila Jiva Goswami. I recommend, at least if you've read all of Prabhupada's books, or at least Srimad Bhagavatam, read that book. It's just extremely nice. And in it, well, it begins with Srila Jiva Goswami raising the question, why should we surrender to Krishna? Why should we become devotees? Why? For what reason? Hopefully not just because we feel we have to, but we should feel positively, I want to, because of some nice reasons. So different reasons are suggested, but the reason which he accepts why we should become devotees is because Krishna is so kind to his devotees. That's why. And he gives the example of Putana. Putana, the great demon, first demon, who tried to kill Krishna. So he gives the example of Putana and how Krishna accepted Putana and gave her a position in Goloka as a nurse, like a nanny. Do you use the term nanny here? A nanny? For a woman, a hired woman, professional, who looks after the children at home because the mother is busy. What term do you use for that?
Babysitter.
Babysitter. It's a little different. For babysitter is normally at night when the parents go out to some function. But this is someone who's like a second mother, a nanny. It's more like a second mother. Anyway, Putana was accepted as a nanny in Goloka Vrindavan. Even though, you know the story, Putana came to kill Krishna and tried to kill Krishna, but Krishna killed her. And, you know, so the question is, what is the qualification of Putana? She came and she tried to kill Krishna, but she was given the service, eternal service in Goloka, of being a nanny for Krishna and other of the children there. And the explanation why, what was her qualification, the explanation is, when she first entered the room and saw Krishna lying in the cradle, then momentarily a little motherly mood arose. But it was just like a flash. And then it was gone, because then she tried to kill Krishna. But Krishna is so kind that he accepted that little qualification. It was so small, even though there was just an ocean of disqualification. So how kind is Krishna? How merciful is Krishna? Yes, so therefore, anyway, it's good. That book is discussing this subject, more or less. Actually, you know what it's discussing? It begins with that. But then it goes on to discuss, actually the vast majority of the book is discussing that Krishna must have returned to Vrindavan when he left. He must have returned. And why? Because of this reason, because of that reason, because he promised his devotees, and he will not break a promise to a devotee, and various other reasons. It is quite something. And I remember reading that, and the idea definitely was implanted in the heart that actually Krishna is very kind to his devotees. And that's like a very positive reason to become a devotee. Not just because, you know, I've suffered so much in this world, I just need a way out. I need an escape route, because it's just too much, too painful, or something like that. Prabhupada actually said, you know, there are four types of people who surrender to Krishna: distressed, desire of wealth, inquisitive, and someone searching for knowledge. Prabhupada said, now in Kali Yuga, it's mainly the distressed and those who are looking for knowledge. Yeah. So anyway, consider that. Take that home with you also, because that's just really important. Then last thing we'll just touch on is this point. Prabhupada says, well, the thing is, the four Kumars, they were desiring to see the Lord. They had this desire, strong desire. But then that desire was blocked wrongly by the doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijaya. So therefore they became angry because their desire was frustrated in an unpleasant way. So they became angry and they expressed their anger. They cursed Jaya and Vijaya. And Prabhupada says the younger brother of desire is anger. If one's desire is not fulfilled, the younger brother anger follows. And it applies even in Krishna consciousness also. But not like it applies in material life. Now, you know, do you know, devotees, the two Bhagavad Gita verses, chapter 2, verse, what is it? 56 and 57, am I right? 56 and 57? Or is it 57 and 58? I think it's 56, 57. How does it begin? Jayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangas teshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodo pajayate. Krodat bhavati samoha, samohat smriti vibrama, smriti brahmshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat vinashyati. You know that those verses? You know something, you've got to learn some verses. Maybe you know, I mean, someone like you, maybe you know, I'm sure you know some verses. But these are two very important verses. Krishna's saying, while contemplating the objects of the senses, sort of, you know, checking things out, while contemplating the objects of the senses, attachment develops. Means you want. First of all, you're just checking it out. Well, how does it look? Is it nice? And then you see, oh, looks really nice. Wow. And attachment develops. Then, from attachment, Krishna says, lust develops. Because, you know, the attitude is material. I want to enjoy it sensually. So from attachment, lust develops. And lust in this context means you actually enjoy it, whatever it is. You actually become involved. If it's a member of the opposite sex, you grab hold of them, or you know, whatever it is. The actual expression, trying to carry out and fulfill the desire. So then Krishna says, from lust, what develops? Happiness, right? Have I got it? From lust, happiness manifests. When you enjoy whatever it is, then, happy days. Is that right?
No.
Oh, it's not right. Really? We made a mistake. Oh, gosh. Sorry. What is it? From lust, anger arises. Yes. From lust, anger. This is the natural sequence in material life. We are interested, and then we become attached. We want something, and then we do it. We actually get it and, you know, enjoy it in whatever way is relevant. And then, because we are spiritual, and the body and the mind are material, when we engage with the object of enjoyment, we don't actually get enjoyment. Or if we get some, we just get a little. And it's just not enough. It's just not enough. And sometimes we don't even get enjoyment. So, therefore, it's a natural sequence. Anger arises. It's just a natural sequence. And then, of course, from anger comes illusion, bewilderment of memory. And then one falls down into material existence deeper. But for a devotee, devotees also have desires. They want to please Krishna and please the devotees in different ways. But sometimes, because it's the material world, it's difficult. You go out to distribute books. And you know our motto from the old days in England? I'll tell you our book distribution motto. 100 a day keeps Maya away. That was our motto. Every day we try and distribute 100 books. And often we would, and sometimes we do 150, 200. But sometimes it's difficult because it's the material world. Sometimes you go to one place, maybe not here in Mauritius, but in so many other places, and the police stop you. Maybe they even arrest you. These things happen. I was arrested, I lost count how many times, but well over 50 times. So I'm a serious criminal. Yeah, you're looking at a criminal. So when that happens, then it's just, you know, it's no good. It's no good. So, it's just a natural, Prabhupada said, desire is a symptom of the living condition. And it's not just like a material manifestation. It's just part of being a living entity. But in Krishna consciousness, we have to be very careful because we are in this intermediate stage. We're in this intermediate stage. We still have material attachments. Don't anyone say they don't. You have to recognize that. But we're trying to be devotees, so that's also there, actually. Some Krishna consciousness, some mercy is there. But we have to be careful. For example, here's an example. It is the feast. And at the feast, they have made your favorite preparation. What's your favorite?
Fried rice.
Fried rice. Wow. Okay, let's say fried rice. I was going to say sweet corn and cheese samosas. But anyway, let's say fried rice. So there you are. But somehow you got delayed. So you're right at the end of the queue. Normally you'd be number one. But now you're at the back of the queue. what to do? Oh, look, fried rice. Yes, right. So now you're going through the queue, and suddenly, just before you get to the serving point, the fried rice is finished. It happens. Well, you know the famous story. I've told the story before. The devotees visiting India for the first time with Prabhupada, having a feast at the temple of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, Prabhupada eating with the devotees. And Prabhupada finished, and then his remnants were distributed. And one devotee got a gulab jamun. You like gulab jamuns also? Fried rice is better, right? Okay, anyway, gulab jamuns are pretty good too. So one devotee got a gulab jamun from Prabhupada's plate, which Prabhupada had taken a bite from. This is super duper maha maha prasad. And the devotee's looking at it, thinking, wow, I got the mercy, hurry ball. But someone grabbed it. And it was gone. It went to that the land of no return. And the devotee who had received it, he really got angry. And Prabhupada was there, and he went to Prabhupada. And he told him, Prabhupada, this such and such, he stole my, you know, I got your remnants. He stole it. You know, he was hoping Prabhupada would tell the devotee, you must fast for 1 month. But Prabhupada just laughed. And Prabhupada said he was very intelligent. So just see. So we have to be careful, because it may be a transcendental situation, but and we are devotees or trying to be devotees, but because of our conditioning, we may react in a material way, or a mixed material Krishna conscious way, or something like that. And then you commit offenses, particularly here. They got angry. We have to be very careful about becoming angry. You know, we're very habituated to being angry. It's there in all of us. If we get cheated or mistreated or someone says something bad about us, all these types of things, it's so easy to become angry. We have to be very careful as devotees. Because we may offend, become angry with another devotee for no really good reason. And then that's a problem for your progress in Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, if nothing else, you'll just become disturbed. You'll become unhappy. And you'll sort of go on in an unhappy state. And who wants to be unhappy? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question? Question? Prashna? Ek Prashna? Apko chahiye? Mataji.
Regarding getting angry, Maharaj, sometimes we are doing devotional service, and suppose we're organizing a Rath Yatra.
Okay.
Things become intense at times.
Yes.
Before at service, and at times we do kind of get angry, and we feel it's justified.
Okay.
Because of the situation.
Yep.
And sometimes we feel, and then when we hear such things, we feel like either we don't get into these situations, not to become angry, if you can say.
Yeah. You know, if you don't get into situations with in which your Maya shows, it may be much more difficult to overcome your Maya.
Mm-hmm.
You follow? You know, we've got a lot of Maya. It's kind of hidden inside in the back of the mind or the back of the heart or something. And, you know, of course, just through practicing Krishna consciousness, this sort of accumulated stuff from many lifetimes, it does become cleansed away. But sometimes, some of it, it manifests itself. Usually in the life of a devotee, nothing really happens in the life of a serious devotee, unless Krishna allows it or even wants it.
Mm-hmm.
So if part of your nonsense starts coming out in any situation, then you should take it that Krishna is revealing to me that I have this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing that so that I will now overcome it. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's doing it for my benefit. So I'll get realization, I'll become more conscious of my reality,
mm-hmm.
and I'll learn what I have to deal with. So this is very important. So if we don't get into situations in which those things start coming out, we may never know, and they may just remain, and you know, maybe many years later, then they'll come out and it may be too late, or something like that. So, yeah, therefore, Prabhupada said that in order to advance, we should accept responsibility. Prabhupada really liked it when devotees accepted responsibility for some service. Because the thing is, when you accept responsibility, I mean, Rath Yatra, that's really big. But maybe you accept responsibility, for example, just as an example, every Sunday, you will do the children's program.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as big as a Rath Yatra. So, but you know, when you're trying to do a children's program, which I think you've done,
yes.
Then sometimes the children come, sometimes they don't come. And children being children, you know, it's one thing having one child, two children, mm-hmm. maybe three of your own, or even maybe four. But when you've got 10 children,
mm-hmm.
20 children, and they're all children, oh, it becomes interesting, you know, to control 20 children. Bon chance. Yeah. So when you accept responsibility, then things happen. And things start coming out. If you just sit down and do nothing, things will still come out. But it's not so nice. But at least if you're trying to do something, it's a sort of honorable position, if you know what I mean. At least you're doing the right thing. And you're not just being a lazy. Yeah. Prabhupada said in Krishna consciousness, there is no place for lazies and crazies. Anyway, so let's say you're doing a Rath Yatra, that's big. Particularly if it's like the Mayburg Rath Yatra. Try doing the Durban Rath Yatra. And you must inevitably come across or have to deal with irresponsibility, forgetfulness, negligence. Yeah. Even sometimes someone is trying to deliberately undermine, cause trouble. But you got to deal with it in Krishna consciousness. And not just, you know, we read the verse, it was 3:15:31. It said, yes, anger, devotees, I'll follow in the footsteps of the four commands. But it's very likely that if we manifest anger, that it's going to be tainted and we'll actually commit offense. So generally, you know, when you're dealing with different forms of nonsense from devotees in a devotional situation, you've got to take it. This is Krishna's arrangement. How can I deal with it as nicely as possible? And when the anger mood starts coming up and you're feeling like, you know, in Chatsworth, where our temple, main temple is in Durban, they would say, I felt like giving him a what happened. Means hitting him. A what happened. I felt like giving him a what happened. But it won't help. You know, you have to think how to deal with the nonsense, the irresponsibility, whatever it is, in such ways that the problem is overcome. It's just pragmatism. We want the result. So how? Now, you know, the result is not coming, we have problems. How are we going to actually get the result? And getting angry with people, in my expense, having done it a few times, doesn't work well for getting results. I mean, good results. If you get angry with people, more often than not, they just, you know, they reject. Yeah. So anyway, try like that. Do you ever get angry?
Sometimes.
Okay. But you chant your rounds, right? Yeah. If you chant your rounds, that will help you deal with it so you don't lose control. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.